I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Iran today accused the United States of meddling in its internal affairs. The White House rejected the charge, but said President Obama supports the universal right to demonstrate peacefully. Many Iranians have been doing just that. Tens of thousands marched through the streets of Tehran again today. They're protesting the official results from last week's presidential election there. The protests are taking place despite a government crackdown on opposition supporters and on the news media, which means much of what we know about the demonstrations is coming from the web. The social media site Twitter is playing a big role. It's easy to use and hard to control. Here's more on that from The World's Alex Galifant.
All right, just in case you don't know Twitter, it's a way to send and receive short written messages like these read by some of my colleagues.
Rally is on, silent, calm, and peaceful. Thanks for everyone who's
unconfirmed.
There.
Several generals have been arrested.
I'm good and safe for now. Just my leg wounded.
You get up to 140 characters. You can add links. And you don't need the Twitter website to send or receive messages, known as tweets. In fact, Twitter.com has been blocked in Iran. But people there are still able to receive messages via other websites, and they can send them on their cell phones if need be. That means the tweets about the situation in Iran just keep on coming.
1,959 more results said since I last searched half a minute ago.
This is Colin McClay at Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. He says the sheer volume of tweets and all the links to photos and videos they carry is overwhelming.
This is the web on speed in some sense, right? We're getting so much real-time information. You have all these people with mobile phones taking pictures, videos, Twittering, and so forth. There's all this information, and we have the same problem that we have on the web is how do you sort through it? How do you determine what's authentic information, what's not? How do you understand what's the most important stuff? How does it float to the top?
McClay uses his own contacts to help him sift through it all. But even then, it's still not always clear who's doing the tweeting. Protester, American, or Iranian government official. Here's Beth Kolko, also at the Berkman Center.
People say don't trust the messages coming from this user, trust this kind of stream. And so one of the things that people are doing is trying to look at, for example, how long accounts have been established for. So for the newest accounts, for example, those are the ones that are more questionable, users that are more suspect. So what the community is doing is trying to go through this vetting process to try to eliminate those users who seem less authentic, more suspect.
Some users pretend they're tweeting from Iran to help disguise the identity of users actually in Iran. Indeed, Colin McClay says activity on Twitter going to Iran is as important as the tweets coming out of the country.
You can imagine yourself protesting or otherwise fighting for what you believe to be your freedom and hearing support being really important or hearing deafening silence and finding that to be disillusioning.
And because Twitter is a conversation, it creates community out of what looks like chaos.
Since we last searched, it was 12,000 tweets.
Not everyone has access to mobile phones. Not everyone can send an SMS in English. Not everyone has the internet. And so this whole Twitter revolution isn't about everyone in Iran. But what it has done is it's allowed enough people to come into the streets. It's allowed for a kind of physical protest that's large enough that the people who aren't online, who aren't sending SMSs, look out their window and they see that community on the streets. And so that sense of community affinity is accessible to them even though they don't have the technology.
And since it's a community that's part of the story, the information those with access pour out onto Twitter isn't always cold, hard, or purely factual. It can also be emotional. Beth Kolko thinks that's a useful quality for people who think that the election was flawed.
In the wake of an election, for example, where people are distressed at the outcome, it takes a few days for the evidence to surface. And so in that interim, do you just wait around? Do you just say, well, I guess that was just the way it was? Or do you take to the streets in this case?
And take to the web.
Right. Take to the streets and take to the web. Exactly. So that you get that kind of community response via social media while you're waiting for the kind of evidence-based results to arrive.
Well, much in the way we all want to believe that our vote counts and that that's why we vote, because we think we can make a difference, you could see where it's really important not to feel alone in the process of waiting to find out what happened. So if you felt like, yeah, your vote was stolen and so were some other people, but you're the only one who cares, you're not necessarily going to go take the streets and literally risk life and limb. And what you have now is this capacity to reach out to the community that's on that block with you and that big crowd, but also to reach out to people across your country and indeed around the world. And that's a tremendously powerful resource in waiting for that data to know whether, in fact, the election was stolen.
Twitter's emotional function doesn't demand what's expected of the mainstream news media, accuracy and impartiality. Instead, the question is, how long can the community, particularly in Iran, sustain shared emotions in the face of an official crackdown? For The World, I'm Alex Galifant.